All right, welcome back. This is the coaching part two. I'm calling it semi-directive coaching. And in the last session, we looked again at non-directive coaching, which is the basis of all coaching. In the next session, we're going to actually start looking at semi-directive coaching. But I thought we should first maybe look at directive coaching. And directive coaching is a lot more like mentoring and like teaching. Okay, so directive coaching. So we'll spend a little time talking about directive coaching. It's almost an oxymoron. It's almost like two opposite things, because coaching is sort of non-directive, but now we're going to have directive coaching. So when is it really appropriate to do directive coaching? Well, I'm going to give you a few examples. Let's say you wanted to learn how to play the piano. If you want to learn how to play the piano, it's really good to have someone that already knows how to play the piano. I mean, even if you go to YouTube and find someone that's going to help you learn how to play the piano. My mother knew how to play the piano, and I wanted to learn how to play the piano when I was a young kid. And I asked her, you know, Mom, can you show me? And she was a good piano player, but she had no concept of what she was doing. She couldn't explain the difference between a half note and a quarter note or an eighth note. She really didn't have any theory at all. And so she had a hard time explaining it. The only thing she showed me was, you know, Jesus loves me. Four parts, Jesus loved me. And I, you know, I learned that, and that's as far as it went. But later on in my life, I took piano lessons again from someone who knew what they were doing. And so much of this is based on skill. And with skills, you can be more directive. In other words, the person already knows what they want to do. They just don't know how to do what they want to do. Or in a sport, if you're a child and you go out for a sport, whether it's soccer or baseball or basketball or whatever it is, you don't know what to do with the ball. You don't know how to hold the ball. You don't know how to kick the ball. You don't know how to hold the bat. You don't know where to put it. And so you'll notice that when coaches are helping young children learn a sport, they're very directive. You know, we're going to hold our bat this way. We're going to put our glove on, and we're going to catch the ball this way. And when we throw, we're going to throw it this way. And when we kick the ball, this is how we do it. It's true with things like sewing. Maybe you know how to sew, and your grandmother showed you how to sew, and she sat you down, and, you know, let's say you're knitting, and you got these two long sticks, and you go around and through and around, and then you take, I don't know how to sew. But if I was going to learn, I would learn from someone who knows what they're doing, and it's very directive, because it's a skill. I mean, I suppose you could just, I'm a coach. I'm going to help you learn how to play the piano, and here's the piano, and, you know, go at it. And then I will smile when you do something right. it would take a long, 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 long time to teach someone the piano, being totally non-directive. Well, when is directive coaching useful? Let's say you want to be a coach. You've already been doing some coaching, and you've been doing it in a very non-directive kind of way. You know, often when a person doesn't know what they want to do, they don't know what they want to fix in their life. They just know that they're unhappy, or that there's something wrong in my marriage, or there's something wrong in my family, and I have no idea what to do about any of it. I don't know where to even start. And that's really where directive coaching comes to the front. But So when is a more directive coaching response useful? Well, number one, when the client already knows what he or she wants. If I know as a client that I want to learn how to play the piano, then we don't have to spend a lot of time trying to figure that out. Remember, here are the three things that coaches do. Help the client figure out what they want to do. Okay, that's the first thing that you do. And the second thing is to help the client figure out how to do what they want to do. That's the plan. And finally, help the client follow through with the plan. How do you manage the plan? But that first one, help the client figure out what they want to do, the decision of what to do, has already been made. In directive coaching, directive coaching can be a possibility that you might use as a coach if the person already knows what they want to do. They already know what they want to fix. They already know what they want to work on. They just don't know how to do it. So again, when is directive coaching useful? When the client already knows what he or she wants. Or number two, often when learning a skill is involved, like education. A lot of education is directive coaching. That's what teachers often do. They try to give problems. They try to involve the students as much as they can. But a lot of it is directive. You hand someone a history book, and the history book outlines the history. It's not like you got to go find it. It's right there. You follow it, and then you get tested on it. So it's like learning things, learning a skill, or learning a bunch of information. A lot of times we just need to learn about something for a while before we can do anything with it. And that's pretty straightforward. Number three, when is directive coaching useful? When the client wants what the coach is good at. That's sort of that mentoring piece. You know, if I'm good at playing the piano and you want to learn how to play the piano, you might come to me and say, well, how do you do it? And then I will show you exactly how you do it. It's not like I'm going to sit down with you and say, you figure it out yourself. So a lot of times when the coach has something, and that's why it's important to take a bunch of classes. If you want to be a coach, and a person already knows what they want, the more areas you know something about, the more areas you can be in a more directive role with the coaching. But remember, you know, and I'm going to keep doing this in this class, keep reminding you of the non-directive. Remember in the non-directive class, I said you should almost switch hats. Okay, when you're doing the non-directive coaching, you have the non-directive coaching hat on. But if all of a sudden you're going to switch, hey, I think we have to learn something before we go back to the non-directive. I think you have to learn, you know, what responsibility is or discipline is. If we're talking about doing something with the whole parenting thing, okay? You want to be a better parent, but you don't understand what discipline is. You don't understand what responsibility is. You don't understand what judgment is, and we should go over these things so you have a great idea, you have the idea of the concept of judgment before we can even start talking about what things we should do to help your kids get better judgment. You have to understand these things first before we can do something with them. So, again, directive coaching useful when the client wants what the coach is good at. Number four, when is directive coaching useful? When a client is really motivated to acquire the skill that the coach has. In other words, they're already motivated. One of the reasons why we do non-directive coaching, in other words, let the client figure out what they want to do. Let the client figure out what the plan is. Let the client figure out how they're going to follow through. The reason that we put so much emphasis on letting the client figure it out is because if they can do that, they're more motivated to actually follow through. Yeah, we've all had experiences where we've told people what to do. You know, we outline, this is what we want you to do. If you're a parent, you've done this with your children. You know, we want you to do this. We want you to clean your room. We want you to be more responsible. We want you to do your homework first when you come home before you start playing. There's all these things that you want your children to do because you know that if they do these things, you know, the things you're suggesting, they'll be more successful and they'll be happier in their life. But what happens? The kids don't listen. They think they know better than you. And that's often the case in much of life. So when you have the person who is in charge telling the person who is supposed to follow, if the person in charge is always telling that person what to do, eventually people start resenting that. And even though the person in charge is saying something that they know is true, saying something that is actually helpful, a lot of times the client or the person that they're telling just will not do it because they're being told. So the more that someone can figure it out, it's like, you know, if you're in a business meeting and if you can get, you know, if you're the boss, if you can get people to come up with the idea that you have, they're more likely to get excited about it. If you just download the idea on people, they're less likely to get excited about that. So, directive counseling, where you're taking more of an active role as the coach in directing, in telling, this is how you do it. Let me show you. Let me tell you. Let me explain. That only works if your client is already really motivated. In other words, they really want this skill. I find that in the sporting world, that if you're in a sport and you want to improve, you're already motivated. And by the time you come to somebody, you know, you find a coach that can help you, you're willing to listen and do exactly what they say because you really want this already. You're already motivated. Directive coaching in the Bible. Is it in the Bible? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul says, "Follow my example, as I follow the example of Christ." So I have followed the example of Christ. So I have these things that I do in my life because I'm trying to be like Christ. And I'm suggesting to you, this is Paul talking to the church of Corinth. Paul is suggesting that you people now follow what I do. In other words, let me direct you by my example. That's one of the ways that we can do directive coaching, is by example. You know, let me show you how to play this chord on the piano. Let me show you how to hold your hands when you play the guitar. Let me show you the outline that I have made for a sermon, and let me try to explain why I'm doing what I'm doing, and then let's see if you can follow that pattern. Follow the example. In another translation, it says, follow the pattern. I follow the pattern of Christ, and now you follow the pattern that you see in me, how I talk, how I deal with people. Another example, Exodus 25. Okay, so the people of Israel have gone into the desert. They've been in bondage for 400 years. Moses leads them out into the desert. The people have no idea who God is. They hardly know who Moses is. And so Moses goes up to the mountain of God and he receives the very words of God. Okay, the Ten Commandments, but more than just the Ten Commandments. Moses receives instructions on how to build a tent, the tabernacle, the symbolic presence of God, or the very presence of God right there. And there was so much change, right? The people had stability, at least in Egypt. You know, every day was probably the same you know, building pyramids or whatever they were building. And all of a sudden they're in the desert. And who are they? Where are we going? One day we're here, next day we pack up and we move over there. And so to give them a sense of security, there was the tabernacle. God is here. The pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire to lead at night, the cloud to lead them by day. But when it was stationary, right there, the tabernacle. And then they arranged the tents, all the tribes. They arranged all these tribes, all these tents, in the same order. Wherever they went, they put them in the same order around the tabernacle. So even though they were on the move, even though there was change everywhere, there was the stability. We're here together. Here, you know, my neighbors are still my neighbors, even though we've moved. And God is still at the center. So it was a significant thing that God instructed Moses, a very practical thing, to give people a sense of security as they're moving towards an unknown future. By the way, that's what the role of the church is too. It gives us a sense of security. It gives us a sense of community, you know, around each other, but also around God in a changing and shifting culture. Okay, but listen to these words, Exodus 25. Have them make an ark of acacia wood. Make an atonement cover of pure gold. Make a table of acacia. I don't know how to say that word. Wood. Make a lampstand of pure gold. See that you make them according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Now, God, and now through Moses to the people, is being very directive. I mean, I suppose God could have said, you know, well, why don't you make a big tent? And we need some furniture, put some furniture in. No. It's very directive. Let me tell you exactly what you need to make and what you need to make it out of. And then he explains the purpose of each one of the utensils and the furniture that's going to go into the tabernacle. I mean, all the detail. If you read Exodus, you see all this incredible detail. Well, that's like directive coaching. You know, when people want what the coach has, or when the coach knows exactly how something ought to be done, you're more inclined towards directive coaching. Examples of common skills that people want to learn from someone who already is proficient in that skill. So let me just give some examples. Life skills. You know, how do you do a wash? How do you make your bed? How do you clean? How do you mow the lawn? How do you fix things? How do you dress? How do you tie your shoes? You know, you could put shoes on a child and say, here, figure out what to do with the laces, and they could spend, you know, hours trying to make a knot or make something. But, you know, if you, in 3 minutes, you can just show them, okay, you take the two ends, you fold this over, you go around, you put it, you know, there's this way where that rabbit goes down the hole, and you know, and all of a sudden it's tied. Life skills are a place, you know, there's certain ways of doing things. And if someone would just show you. So a lot of kids today don't are practical little things they don't know how to do, at least in our North American culture. Parenting skills. A lot of times parents just sort of fall back on how their parents did it. How my parents did parenting is how I'm going to. It's the only thing that I knew. But let's say your parents weren't very good. You didn't have great examples. Well, then you might try to find somebody that's actually a pretty good parent. They're proficient. You know that they're already good at it. So if you're a life coach, and one of the things you have taken at Christian Leaders Institute is the whole parenting thing. There's a lot of different parenting classes. And you've taken these classes and you've tried to put these skills into practice in your own parenting, and people around you can see that, then you're more likely to be a person that people approach to say, hey, could you help me in my parenting? Marriage skills is the same thing. You have to learn enough skills to make a marriage work, but you need to first put them to practice in your own marriage. And when people see that boy, you're doing some good things in your marriage, then they're more likely to ask you and say, hey, could you help us in our marriage? You have the skill. People can see that you have the skill. You know, in the sporting world, people quickly can see whether you're good at this sport or not good at this sport. And if you're good at this sport, you're more likely to have people say, hey, could you help me? Can you give me a few pointers? Can you see what I'm doing wrong and maybe, help me out? Preaching skills, it's the same thing. If you're if you preach on a Sunday morning and people go, wow, he really has a sense of the text, he has a sense of our lives, and he knows how to apply, what's in the Bible to my life. I feel like he or she was speaking directly to me. Okay, if you're trying to become a preacher, a better preacher, well then you've recognized the people that are pretty good. And if you want to get better yourself, well, that's the kind of person you might come to and say, hey, can you teach me some of the skills that you have? I see that you have them. I don't understand what it is. I see it. I've experienced it, but I don't get it. I don't know if I know how to do it yet. Musical skills, piano, or learning the guitar, or learning how to sing, learning parts. These things are not just incredible gifts that some people just happen to have. You know, I learned how to sing parts, but I learned how to sing parts because I went to a school in eighth grade. We had a teacher that taught us. And my brother was in seventh grade, and then our family moved, and so my brother didn't have the experience that I had in eighth grade with that same teacher. We went to a different school, and they didn't teach music. So from eighth grade on, I learned parts, and I know how to sing parts, and I've sung parts ever since. And my brother, because he didn't get taught, still doesn't know parts. By the way, we all learn from directive coaches without the coach or the learner realizing it. In other words, directive coaching is happening all the time. All the time. For example, your mother tongue. The language that you speak. I grew up learning English. English is one of the hardest languages to learn, I'm told. I don't know that personally because I just grew up with it. I grew up with it, and how do I learn it? I didn't take a class. But there were mentors and teachers and coaches around me my entire life. You know, from the time you're born, there are people that are talking to you. And little by little by little by little, you pick things up. It's really quite amazing. And that's true about so many things. Learning how to walk. You learn how to walk by looking and seeing others and trying it and trying and failing. So what's my point? My point is that directive coaching, in most cases, it's not ideal. If you have someone who doesn't know what they want to do, if you have someone that's sort of unmotivated and sort of lost, then directive coaching is not the thing to do. But there are those cases when people know exactly what they want. And you, as a coach, know a lot about whatever that is. So what I'm saying is there is a place for directive coaching. But if you're going to do directive coaching, then as a coach, you have to know whatever that thing is. If you're gonna teach someone how to play the piano, you have to know how to play the piano. If you're gonna teach someone how to play the guitar, you have to know how to play the guitar. If you're gonna teach someone, you know, the eight things, the attitudes that you want children to have in the whole parenting thing, or the skills, communication, taking responsibility, learning judgment, and all these different skills and attitudes that you want children to have. Well, if you're going to direct a parent in that, if you're going to help a parent understand those concepts and what they mean, the different parts, then you have to know it. So that's why taking classes yourself, if you want to be a coach and you want to be you could pick one thing. You could just be a coach in marriage. You could be a coach in parenting. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you want to be a versatile coach, then taking as many classes, many different areas, might open up the possibilities to what you might do in your coaching career. All right, so next time what we're going to do is we're going to segue into what this class really is all about. And what this class really is all about is semi-directive coaching. Okay, until next time.